Breakfast with Martin Fester.
So headline news over the weekend, very much this morning, is a story about a cyclist that got gunned down from behind in the Krugersdorp area, and a stranger came along, spotted the guy, heard the cries for help, and helped him. He's in hospital right now, and this guy's name is John Peterson, the guy that stopped to help Jim, the cyclist. He's on the show with us this morning. Nice to meet you, John. John, thanks for coming in.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having me.
So what do you do? Let's just start there quickly. Let's know more about you.
Okay, so my day job, I work for an amazing company called PNet. We help people get jobs, basically, yeah. And we help businesses advertise their positions online. So we're kind of like the middleman. So that's what I do during the week. And over weekends, I run a little hiking club that started 2 years ago called the Hiking Unfit Hiking Club. Yeah.
Sounds good. Keep talking.
Yeah, you can see the size of me. So I used to DJ professionally, internationally for about 20 years.
Okay.
And I hung up my headphones in 2016.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, and just decided
hiking.
Needed to do something.
Exactly how the story unfolded. You were looking for new hiking spots.
Yeah, so basically what the hiking club is, we hike to raise awareness for animals in distress. So I collect food, we collect blankets and give it to shelters.
Incredible.
So I like to look for shelters and for hiking routes that are close to shelters that are in need. So we found a couple out in the Heidebeerspoort area, and my friend Al said to me, John, look, I've got a couple places for us to go to because my administration skills suck. So she helps me with the admin of the club.
Okay.
Her and a friend of mine called Michelle. And she said, let's take a drive out. So the weirdest thing is that somebody actually reversed into my backyard on Wednesday. So I didn't want to drive far with the car.
Okay.
Okay. Which made me a passenger in Al's car.
Okay.
Which made me sit on the passenger side with the window down.
Oh, man.
Which made me... Yeah, the guy. It's so weird. Everything just like...
It's amazing. Everything happens for a reason, as they always say. Now, okay, so you were in the car with Al, and you had the window open. Where exactly was this now? Just put me in the picture there.
We were on the Kromdraai Road. So,
yes.
I know it's Robert Brom. It becomes the N14, I think.
Okay.
And we turned left down the Kromdraai Road, just past the Letamo Eco Estate.
So you could have gone many ways, right?
Do you want to hear something crazy? Is that the GPS said go straight and then take the N4 highway and then go off at Balibongwe.
Yes.
And I said to Al, let's turn around and go down the Kromdraai Road because opposite the Rhino Park, there's a little enclosure with a white tiger.
Yeah.
I said, and it's awesome. I'd love to see it. And there's a giraffe that usually sticks his head over the fence. So she's like, okay, cool. So we turned around, and that took us about 4 minutes to do a U-turn and to turn around. And by the time we had gotten to the speed bump, was exactly 4 minutes after the incident had happened and Jim was shot.
Believe it. What a another coincidence.
It's like,
so you're driving down this road. You weren't meant to drive down in the first place. You had your window open. You heard someone... What did Jim say? What scream?
Help me.
You just said help.
And
me.
I don't know where... This guy's incredible, Jim. Yeah. If you're hearing, mate, he managed to put his arm up and say, help me.
Mm-mm.
And I turned to the left and I saw this and I was like, I'll stop.
Mm.
And she stopped, and I said, something's going on. So I climbed out the car, and I was cautious as one should be, because you've heard this stuff happening and people attacking
you. This is the thing, John. This is the thing. You hear so many stories, you see and read so many stories, people saying, careful, this is the latest trick.
Yeah.
People lay in the road, people lay next to the road. We've all seen those people in distress.
Yeah.
And then they're not in distress, they want to hijack you. So, okay. So you hear Jim saying, help me, he's got his hand up, and you're thinking... Could this be a trap? What's happening?
Exactly. So I'm thinking this is all going at like 1,000 kilometers an hour through my mind. And I look to the left and I see another white Land Cruiser pulling up behind me. And it's another guy. And immediately I thought, okay, safety in numbers. There's two of us. In case something happens, this guy can help. And I looked down and I saw blood coming out of Jim's leg. And I noticed he didn't have shoes and he was rolling around. And this was real pain. You could see the difference.
Yeah.
So I ran up to him and I didn't have any gloves with me. And I'm sorry, but these days you can't just stick your fingers without a glove into a wound. So I put my foot on it because it was bleeding. I needed to do something. And I screamed to Al, have you got a first aid kit? And she said, I don't, not in the car. And luckily this guy had two gloves. and a little bit of gauze, like a little bandage something. So they came out with a glove, and I put the one glove on my left, on my right hand, and as I put the glove on the left hand, it broke. I was like, ah, at least I've got the one glove. So I put pressure onto the back of his leg with the hand with the glove, yeah. And as I was doing this, I noticed blood coming out of his back. And I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on now? So I moved, he was wearing like a shirt over like a little onesie thing. So yeah. I moved this little onesie to the side and I saw a hole. And I was like, okay, here we go. So I needed to apply pressure. This guy was bleeding out. So I did.
How did you do that?
I used my arm and...
Yeah.
I had to. By that time, somebody else had stopped. And they had some more gloves with them, so luckily I could put two gloves on.
Yeah.
And Al found a towel in her car, so
you applied pressure to the wound.
I put the towel on the back leg, and you guys can see I'm not a small chap. So I put the towel on the back leg. I put my knee on his leg at the back. I had my one finger in his back. I then asked him if he could move his legs, because the shot had gone through his back and I wasn't sure if it had hit his spine.
Yeah, yeah.
So he said to me, yeah, he can feel his legs and he can feel his feet. So I asked him just to wiggle his toes. He wiggled his toes. And then I knew that his legs were okay because I needed to put him into the recovery position.
Yeah, yeah.
I then rolled him on his side, and that's when I noticed a pool of blood underneath his tummy. And then moved his...
The shot go right through.
And the shot went straight through.
Oh,
so it's two hands, one knee, and three holes.
Dude, this is like, what do you call that game? This is what I'm picturing. That game
Twister.
Where people... Twister. Mm. You've got fingers. Do you have a first aid course? Have you done that?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. I've, because of the hiking club.
You're fortunate. Jim was fortunate. This guy that's first on the scene at a first aid course qualification.
Mm.
So many incidences and weird turns to the story that just tells you sometimes things just happen the way they should happen. The guy that was first on the scene and fortunately knew what to do, his name is John Peterson, who's here live with us in studio this morning. So you've taken a first aid course, which is lucky for Jim. Mm. Did you have your finger in the bullet wound?
Yeah. Both holes.
Now you see... Oh.
In the back.
Now, can I just tell you right there, okay, that is what makes you exceptional, because I honestly don't know if I can do it and not pass out. Liesl, would you be able to do that?
Mm-mm.
Would you know that you should be doing it?
Yeah, I also did first aid a couple of times, varsity and high school, but always thinking about actually having to do the thing is the part that freaks you out.
But isn't it the adrenaline, though?
Big time adrenaline rush, guys. I'm only coming down from the rush now.
You've got to do something.
You have to do something.
Jim's lying there. He's got a bullet hole in his back. He's got a bullet hole coming through his stomach. I mean, that's ridiculous. And it missed everything.
Missed everything. So lucky.
And you put your finger in the one hole and then your finger in the front hole, and you had your leg on his
thigh.
On his thigh wound.
And then a guy came, luckily, and I said to him, please, will you just hold the towel down? He held the towel down.
Incredible, man. And that's incredible. How's Jim doing?
Jim's doing okay. He messaged me on Saturday evening late.
Did he?
Yeah, it was... I didn't know it was from him.
What did he say?
He said, thank you. Thank you that I can hold my son again.
Sure. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Thank you.
Martin, I just want to say a big thank you to John. I'm a cyclist myself, and while I'm very grateful that I've never been in a situation like that guy find himself in, we need people like John to help other cyclists, and it's just really amazing what he did. And yes, we need more people like you, John. Thank you.
How do you feel about all this attention now?
It's overwhelming. I'm getting a little emotional now, actually. I think it's all just kicking in. I just did what needed to be done, and I'm being called a hero and an angel and a... I just did what anybody should do. I just helped a guy that was me, man.
Martin, ek sal nie weet wat om te doen nie. By die eerste teken van bloed, al ek het my kop begin te draai en ek voel flou val. Maar die ou is so kalm, hy's bonne hier. En ek hoop die interview inspire mense om ander te help. Ons moet mekaar help, want ons is Suid-Afrikaners.
Yep.
Hallelujah, man. On the line, Tanya. Tanya, how's it? Morda.
How are you?
Good in you.
Good. Thanks for the show, Martin and Liesl, for the traffic update. And John, just want to tell you, you're a hero to all of us. I'm so glad there's still people stopping to help others, and it's amazing. And I know my husband is listening, he's also a cyclist, and I know that he would love to have someone like you around if something had to happen with him next to the road. And thank you so very much for being such a brave person and being so kind to someone else you don't even know.
That's exactly that, hey. We hear so many stories that makes us such tough individuals, Tanya. You know, all these conspiracy theories and actual tricks from criminals to get you to stop. And then you get hijacked. So you put your own life in danger to save someone else's, which makes the story special.
That's true. Especially if you, like us, doing community work and doing going some.
It's lost to me. You know what? I think that's what everyone appreciates. John, you know, so much is happening in our world, especially Gauteng is you know, it's tough. You know, there are a lot of criminals. A lot of illegal guns. People are just heartless. They will shoot you in the back for a bicycle, is what's happening. So that's why people are so emotional about what you've done. But there's one more voice note that I want to play for you this morning.
Hello, it's Raquel, Jim's daughter. I would just like to thank John from the bottom of my heart for saving my dad's life. Who knows what would have happened if you didn't stop to save and help him. My family and I are eternally thankful for what you did for my dad.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Start your day with Martin Bester. Wake
up. Martin Bester, bye, thank you for the lekker show.
6 to 9 weekdays. Bye, my day.